Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Amy Ward Brimmer, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Newtown, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She's been an Alexander teacher for 15 years. She originally trained as an actor and director, and she has actually served on the faculty of Yale University, their opera training program, and the Hart Conservatory and Brooklyn College. She's also a certified childbirth educator and has quite a bit of experience in that field. But today we're going to talk about another interest of hers, which is nonviolence. And Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Robert.
Amy, could you begin by giving our listeners a very short description or definition of the Alexander Technique?
Yes, and I would like to preface it by saying that this is a little bit of an elusive question that most people have difficulty answering in a brief way, but I will do my best. And that is that to me, Alexander Technique is a way of learning to move mindfully through life. The process of Alexander Technique shines a light sort of on our inefficient habits of movement and our patterns of tension that we've accumulated over time. And those are the things that interfere with our innate ability to move easily and move according to how we're designed. So Alexander is a very simple but powerful approach that it really, to me, the thing I love most about it is it offers an opportunity to take charge of one's own learning process and healing process, because it's not a passive treatment, but it's actually an active exploration of learning. And it changes the way you think and respond in activity. It's a skill, it produces a skill set that can be applied in every situation. And lessons, when I take them, and hopefully for my students as well, leave me feeling very light and yet grounded and centered at the same time.
Yeah, I would agree with that, certainly. And, of course, one situation where those abilities that the technique teaches is going to be nonviolent action. I think before we talk specifically about the applications to that, Before the beginning of our podcast, we were trying to come up with a good title for what it is we're going to talk about. The term nonviolence is a pretty broad one. Maybe if you could spend just a minute or two elaborating on that and the context that might occur in.
Well, what I was hoping specifically to talk about today was nonviolent direct action, social action, which we've seen quite a bit of in the last several months throughout the fall with the Occupy movement. But traditionally, nonviolent direct action is a way to bring about social change in a peaceful but very strong sort of intervention. So the phrases like speaking truth to power and things like sit-ins, mass demonstrations, protests that are meant to be peaceful, that's the kind of nonviolence that I'm talking about. It's certainly connected to the concept of nonviolent behavior throughout every spiritual tradition. But specifically today, when I'm saying nonviolence, I'm talking about nonviolent direct action.
Right, and we're talking now at the very beginning of 2012. So, fresh in our memories is the Arab Spring uprisings, which of course are for the most part very good examples of that. But we could also go back 50, 60 years or more to civil rights movement in the U.S. And, of course, we could go back a really long way to Gandhi in India. And I'm sure there are plenty of other examples. But those are the kind of things you're talking about, right?
Exactly. You know, coming up on the anniversary of Martin Luther King's birthday, as you said, the civil rights movement. Gandhi was probably, you know, one of the best examples of how to bring about change nonviolently. And so there are, you know, many, many examples throughout history of this. And I have started bringing together my work as an Alexander teacher and my work as an activist through a group that I work with called the Earthquaker Action Team, or mm-hmm. EQUATE, mm-hmm. which is a group bringing about economic and environmental justice through nonviolent action. Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the Quaker tradition, right?
Or is
it part of the Quaker? I don't know if it's even, is it, could we call it a church or?
Yes, yeah. We certainly could. Here's a podcast for another time.
Yeah, really.
Because there is a lot to say about it. But Quakerism just briefly runs the gamut from what's called unprogrammed, which is more the traditional, well-known Quakerism, where there's no clergy, no pastors. We mm-hmm. don't call ourselves churches. We call ourselves meetings. Mm-hmm. But on the other end of the spectrum of Quakerism, there are churches and pastors, and you know they embrace.
I didn't know that. That's new. Yeah. That's new information for me.
It is interesting,
right?
But yes, Quakerism actually began and was formed sort of in a nonviolent direct action way. The founder George Fox, definitely, you know, he would do actions in churches in England in the 17th century, walk mm-hmm. in during the sermon and protest, and so there is this tradition in Quakerism as well. Yes.
Well, let's get down to the central question that we're going to talk about. How could some Alexander training or knowledge and understanding of Alexander principles help people who are motivated to engage in nonviolent social action?
Well, my understanding and experience in the last year or so with the EQUATE actions has been that it comes in extremely usefully as folks are preparing to do the action, the protest, the march, whatever it happens to be, and during the actions. And the way that it has really helped, that I've been able to help folks, is both on an individual level, but on a group level. So starting with the group idea, there's a couple of applications. First of all, with any strong feeling, the Alexander, strong emotion or passionate feeling, the Alexander technique is very helpful in helping people stay connected to the strong energetic feeling that's arising, but not losing their physical self. And this is true mentally as well when we talk about people staying up inside their heads and just living mentally and being disconnected from their bodies, but also strong feelings. So as we're, for example, last month, EQUATE did an action where we went to PNC Bank, which is our current target right now, to protest their financing of mountaintop removal coal mining in Appalachia. And our action was going to be to sing, to chant, to speak. Various people were going to be speaking. And basically to hold the space of their regional headquarters lobby. And some people were risking arrest. So folks are literally putting their bodies on the line. And so it's helpful to be in your body as you're doing that. So all of our actions now start with preparation of Alexander centering. So helping people understand how they sit, how they stand, how they walk, as we're gathering ourselves as a group. So Alexander technique, the AT that I do in groups is very similar to what other people teach in groups, but it's just a little bit more, there's a little more sense of urgency, I think, on a morning before, you know, half an hour before 40 people are going to march through the street chanting and walking in and disrupting banking business in a bank lobby. I think that folks feel a lot of anxiety and a lot of excitement. And so the Alexander technique helps us stop and pause using inhibition, the idea that you take a moment before you react. And so we will do things like grounding ourselves, really being centered, finding the center of gravity, doing some general opening kinds of warm-up motions that really bring people into an awareness of their breath and their whole self. So we're really bringing our whole selves to the actions. And that actually I've noticed, the second thing that I would say that's most important in these group actions is that everybody is taking responsibility for themselves, but also working as a group. So in these warm-up circles, we are actually connecting one with another, so that each person is an individual, but we're acting as a group. So it really connects us to the environment that we're in and to how each of us is responding to one another. So there's a lot of awareness of space, spatial awareness.
Mm-hmm. And maybe just to go back for a moment to what you were talking about, how strong emotional feelings, such as anxiety or excitement, can detach you, your mind from your body, as it were. I mean, that's something in general, not so much the strong emotional stuff, but just in general, is something that the Alexander technique process addresses pretty specifically. That I think it would be fair to say that Alexander teachers and students are pretty aware from their experience with the work that it's extremely easy to get detached from what's going on. There's so many external stimuli and just habits of thought. So it sounds to me as though, from listening to your description of how you work with people, that you're working with them in the sort of ordinary day-to-day activities that Alexander teachers use in their own teaching for anybody, in order, in a sense, to get people better able to understand that mind-body connection and how fragile it is and what they need to be thinking about to bring it back or to continue it in these sort of non-stressful situations, in order for them to be able to do it quickly under more extreme situations. Would that be a fair way of looking at it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really interesting approach for me, or situation for me as a teacher, because normally when I work one-on-one or even in groups, we'll start with, as you described, the simple, less loaded, as it were, activities. Mm-hmm. But with the groups that I've been working with Occupy and with Equate and some other groups, these are not people that have any exposure to Alexander technique. And there's also not a lot of time to mm-hmm. go mm-hmm. over principles and do a lot of hands-on. So, yes, what we're doing is applying those, giving folks an opportunity to check in and do some simple things like, you know, how can I feel this level of excitement and intensity and yet let go where I don't need to be holding, or stay with my breathing, actually feel my feet as I'm walking, and let go of my jaw tension, you know, all those sort of basic
right.
things
yeah.
that you would normally do when things aren't quite so urgent. So yes, that's right. It's sort of, it's almost going about the learning in reverse.
right.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of interesting comparing that approach that you've just talked about to getting ready for dangerous, certainly stressful situations, to the approach, as I understand it, that was used in the 60s, maybe earlier yet, but certainly in the 60s, training kids to go into Mississippi and Alabama and places like that to confront very dangerous situations. And I believe that a part of that training was to sort of, in the safety of the northern colleges where they were being prepared, to kind of simulate some of the behavior that they were going to experience when they got into the South, so that they could be better prepared for it. And those who realize that maybe this was not really for them would drop out at that point or take some other role. How do you see that? I mean, their approach was to kind of practice with the real, some version of the real thing. And your approach is more, let's go back to very simple activities and see how we deal with that. What would you say about that?
There's a we still do that as part of our training. When we're we'll always do a training or two session or two before the day of an action, and so things like hassle lines and other sorts of rehearsal type activities do prepare people to, you know, what, how will you respond if, you know, police or a security guard is screaming in your face and you need to sit and not react, right? So it's very Alexandrian in that sense, that how do you have a fresh response and stay non-reactive if someone's really pushing at you? And so we actually have built into some of our trainings the kind of observation and noticing that Alexander process teaches people under other circumstances. So that's already part of my process, working with the groups that I'm working with. So it's very similar to that. And it's a lot less, I mean, the kinds of actions that I've been participating in the last several months are not, you know, cannot be compared to the civil rights, you know, situations so far. I mean, I haven't been in situations like in UC Davis where tear gas was used, or, you know, we haven't been in those kinds of situations.
Or in Arab countries.
Or right, in Egypt.
Syria, right, as we're speaking. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So it's not quite that dangerous, but it is, you know, it's also, as you were describing the training, you know, that kind of having to be prepared for anything but not knowing what that thing might be.
Mm-hmm.
That has been something that in all contexts, Alexander has been absolutely essential in the teaching that I do with actors. It's very similar in that sense, needing to be, have a fresh response in the moment. But the other thing I was thinking about was that it's the kind of situation where folks that I've worked with in the medical profession, especially those who work in the emergency room, it's a situation where things could be very dull. There's a lot of waiting around, especially in a sit-in. You're sitting there, and it's easy to disconnect there, and it can be kind of boring also, in a sense, where not much is happening, and you're waiting, or you're just walking for an hour or two in a protest line, so that can be challenging because you still need to be ready, because at any point that could change. It could go from very boring to extremely urgent rather quickly.
And that could happen in an emergency room, as you say, too.
Right, right.
I mean, there are a lot of situations where that's the case. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, the ER folks I've worked with have described their work as 90% boredom and 10%, you know, high adrenaline. So.
Right.
You know, that can be true. And, you know, I feel like Alexander technique is, you know, we talk about sustainability a lot. That word gets bandied about a lot. But Alexander technique is actually the most sustainable approach to living that I personally have found. And I think that now, as we're living in this culture where there's constant information and we're being kind of barraged with stimuli all the time, It's very common to shut down and get disconnected. And then as people are being aroused and wanting to protest or take some kind of action and in response to their feeling of disenfranchisement and being, you know, just really frustrated with certain systemic problems in our culture, they're acting then out of this sort of disconnected state. And so my goal is to really work with these groups and with myself to stay, to be acting from a place of integrity and awareness rather than just sort of lashing out. And I feel like I did do some one-on-one work at the Occupy encampment in Philadelphia in the fall with folks who've been sleeping on concrete and in cold nights, and, you know, going and doing a little bit of one-on-one Alexander with some of those protesters and seeing how they really, you know, the thing they appreciated the most about the work was, as one person said, it was like every time we worked together, she kind of came home to herself.
Right. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then that brings.
And
like
you could get that same response, I think, from a lot of just ordinary Alexander students too.
Everybody I work with pretty much says that once they get it and see the benefit of it. It's not really any different than someone who comes with neck pain from sitting at a computer all day, in the sense that, I'm reintegrating. You know, it's really, this is really the work that reintegrates. And that can be true on a large group social level, or it could be true on an individual moment-to-moment level.
Well, you know, we're kind of coming towards the end of our time for the podcast. If there's an offshoot of our conversation that you think is worthy of a second podcast, we can do that. But maybe this would be a good time to bring this one to a close. Would that be okay?
Okay.
My guest today has been Amy Ward Brimmer, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in the Philadelphia area, also Newtown, Pennsylvania. If anything that we've been talking about intrigues you, we'll put a link to her website by the interview. And if you will also put a link to a website where you can find an Alexander Technique teacher anywhere in the world. Amy, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's been a pleasure.